Hi.
90s Leonardo DiCaprio bangs, which I don't hate.
Oh.
Yeah, like I like island? Romeo and Juliet. Romeo plus Juliet, mm-hmm. as it was on the VHS cover. Hi. Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a podcast by two dry millennials learning to live their most authentic lives after booze. Katie, how many... Oh, hi. I should probably look at you so I don't fucking just cut you off.
No. You're good. Okay, go. Bitch.
How many days alcohol-free have you been and how have you been feeling?
Well, I've been alcohol-free for 470 days. I don't think I've ever been happier in sobriety than I have been this week. I'm just feeling really aligned, but I am putting a lot of intention into that. So that's why, right?
What have been things, not to just immediately go in and rapid fire question, but what have...
Please do.
What's helped you feel that way?
Well, right now I'm actually taking a workshop by Nina Camille called Experiencing Freedom Foundations. And we have been focusing on the big six and the little three. And I won't go into this too much right now, but we could totally do an episode on this. I would love that. And it's just essentially about like prioritizing your self-care through sleep, hydration, nutrition, movement, meditation, and reflection. Above everything else and above everyone else, so that you are able to show up in your life for yourself so that you can show up for other people and not even to show up for other people, right? Like, I don't even need to also add that. But yeah, so I'm feeling really amazing in that regard. However, I have a herniated disc in my lower back.
Fuck.
And I'm sad. My body, it feels like it's fucking falling apart. And it's interesting that the universe would... just so happens, like, I registered for this workshop, like, I don't know, I think 8 weeks ago, and I was totally feeling fine physically at the time. But it's interesting that as soon as this workshop starts, I have this injury, and exercise is such a huge part of my self-care, like intense exercise, right? It's actually also like kind of can be problematic in my life. Like, I need it. So it's been cool to have also this workshop to help me implement other forms of self-care. And so, yeah, I'm figuring it out.
Yeah, because you haven't been to the gym in like 2 weeks, which is just unheard of.
Yeah, I went tonight and just did some really lightweight stuff. My physical therapist cleared me to like do some arms and stuff, but I'm in pain now. So, you know, I'm doing the 30-day yoga challenge with Adrian that's free on YouTube.
Yeah, and everyone loves that one. It's supposed to be really good.
She's just so chill. It's like so, it's awesome. But yeah, so I'm figuring it out. How are you? How many days sober have you been? And tell us about where you're at in your life right now.
I can definitely relate to being sore. I have been developing a addiction to a resistance Pilates boutique studio in town.
Yes.
which sounds so bougie. And it is. And I love it. And I love that for me. But I'm 10 days past a year and a half sober. So
whoop.
Like a year and 70 days or something like that. And I am just like ravenous and a little unhinged. I can't ever tell if I'm on my period because I don't bleed because I have an IUD, but I think that's what's going on. I'm just really emotional and just kind of feeling exhausted. But other than that, it's just because like I've been living my best life. I've been doing so much stuff. And Danny B and I had our little 6-year anniversary. So Woo! We went to dinner and a movie, and yeah, I went roller skating for a friend's birthday, like so much stuff. And then we bought our tickets to go to New York in October. So
you didn't tell me you bought them.
Yeah. So it's like official. I have my PTO all approved. We just need to figure out the Airbnb, and we are taking suggestions. So we've both never been in New York City. We're primarily going to be in Brooklyn for a wedding, but have some extra days. But what are we going to talk about in our episode today, Katie?
Okay, so this episode's funny. It started out as like me being like, Kaylee, let's do an episode on snatching back your power. Like, how do we reclaim the things that we feel like we missed out on when we quit drinking? And we did this outline like we always do, and it just evolved into something totally different, which I think is really cool. This week, we eventually got to the plan or the idea of talking about what our fears were when we were giving up alcohol, like what prevented us from giving up booze sooner. And it seems like there are a lot of things, a lot of fears that were, you know, keeping us small and playing small and not taking risks and chances on ourselves and self-belief, which it's been a theme of the pod before. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, now that we've been alcohol free for 1.5 years, looking back is really interesting on how we stumbled upon like sober curiosity, being sober, and really what was that block? Like, why didn't we quit sooner? So, yeah. So, Kaylee, you start us off. What were 3 fears you had when you considered quitting booze? Tell us.
Okay. So I'll try and give them all equal attention. And it definitely wasn't hard to list these down.
I know. It was hard to like keep them to 3, I feel like.
Yeah, no, definitely. There were so many. But I think in this order is pretty accurate. So the biggest one for me was literally having nothing to do. Like, I would have such a huge struggle when I would start a new job or I'd have to do these icebreakers because, one, I just felt they were really cringy. But also I was like, I literally don't have a hobby. I know that I get off work and I will go chain smoke at one of the bars downtown, but that's not really what I want to say when I'm like, welcome to this corporate job. What do you like to do for fun? So, I couldn't be like, I like to buy a bottle of wine at Plaid Pantry and drink myself to fucking sleep. What are your hobbies? So, yeah.
Oh, and don't forget puking on the front porch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I really was worried that I wasn't going to have anything to do and that I was going to be so fucking bored. So that was a really big one for me. I'll get into like how that's changed. But the second one was disappointing people because I knew that my decision was going to disappoint some people. I shared on the pod that like a majority of my family isn't super supportive. And I was really worried that people weren't going to think that I was fun anymore. And all of a sudden I would look and I'd have no fucking friends and no one would invite me to anything. And like, I felt it kind of ties into my third one, which is like romanticizing alcohol and having it be part of that like hot girl aesthetic of like drinking mimosas and watching Gossip Girl, or, you know, like I honestly thought that drinking made me cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's the narrative like, that's like, you know, told to us from such a young age. Like, why wouldn't you think that?
Yeah. So I would like, as part of this phase, I was working at a hair salon that was already downtown, and our like dress code was black. So I had like really bleached blonde hair. I was wearing these little black dresses with little heels and had red lipstick and like a whole thing. Like, I very much wanted to look like a classy woman, who like wanted to be taken seriously. And, you know, but I would literally like get off of work at, I don't know, 7 p.m., go to Starlight, which was right by there.
Oh, Starlight.
Mm-hmm. And I would sit out in the back patio and I drink like 5 vodka gimlets and chain smoke, like go through like half a pack of cigarettes.
I feel like our audience, our listeners, and now viewers, since we're video recording
live. Hi. Which I keep forgetting, which is
I love it. I feel like everyone needs a picture of like what kind of bar was Starlight. Tell us, like, what would you classify?
God, I went to Starlight all the time.
Same.
They did like this, I think it was only for an hour. They did $1.50 Patron shots.
Yeah. So, and it was early. It was like from like 7 to 8.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a thing. There was couches inside. They had like Trivial Pursuit, like some video poker. Like, it was a dive bar for sure, but tried to have more of like a poker, like jazz club feel, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And the poker place was next door, like the actual poker. So I almost feel like it was like a pregame. Like, that was like they coined that for the poker place next door too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was just fancy enough for me to wear a dress and have an excuse to like look nice to go there, but just divey enough to where I could, you know, spend my $25 in tips and get pretty trashed. So,
and we could chain smoke cigarettes in the back.
Yeah, that was, I thought I was a young, classy woman about town.
I love
so,
it.
So yeah, I thought that if I were to give up alcohol, like what the fuck would I do? Every finals, like every time I finished a final in college, I would buy myself a bottle of champagne and a slice of cake from Market of Choice. And then I would come home and just buy myself, drink the entire bottle of champagne and eat this cake and watch TV. So I was like, what am I going to do with that? And yeah, so much of my life revolved around alcohol, and it was the only thing that I really did as a hobby. And I was worried that if I quit, none of my friends would want to fucking hang out with me anymore. And I would just be really bored and sad. Like, I thought that not drinking was going to make me more depressed. What about you, Katie?
Oh, my gosh. Well, isn't it interesting that, like, alcohol is an antidepressant in the moment, right? Like, you get mm-hmm. that. You get those hits of that feel good and that, you know, less anxiety and like a little loose. And then you like realize that you fucking crash and burn the next day so quickly and for like a long time. And like also, I don't know if we've really covered this, but did you know that a hangover is withdrawals?
From alcohol poisoning, right?
No, like it's actually when your body like is sobering up, it's your body's like response to the alcohol coming out of your bloodstream. Like, that's how addictive it is. I know. Google that for everyone listening.
So every time you drink alcohol afterwards, you...
withdraw.
Your body goes through some... which makes sense because of the liver and the processing yeah. and...
Well, and then to just take this one step further, I... you know how everyone's like, oh, the older you get, the worse your hangovers get?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why?
No. I feel like you're like Bill Nye sciencing me right now, and I fucking love it.
I know. I literally, someone posted this on in the amazing social media world that is Sober Curious and, you know, Instagram. So thank you for the millions of people who post about this. Alcohol is literal poison. So the longer that you drink for, yeah. the worse your body responds to it.
Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? It's not that your body gets more hungover. It's that your body's taking in more toxins and it's poisoning you.
Dude, that could be a true crime podcast. Like, seriously, like poisoning yourself slowly over time. Like, yes, that is fucking creepy.
Also, true crime and glorifying alcohol, super fucking problematic. True crime podcasts always do that shit. I hate it. But shout out to Crime Junkie. Like, I don't know if Ashley Flowers will ever listen to our podcast, but if she does, like, thank you for A, not talking about alcohol, and B, supporting Reframe App. I think that's fucking dope, dude. They're one of the, they're an affiliate now, which is so cool.
That's so cool.
Okay, tangent. Sorry, but I will rein it in. I, much like you, Kaylee, was like, okay, well, what am I going to do if I don't drink?
Yeah, like what? Like what?
Yeah, and especially like later. So later in my relationship with alcohol, Steve and I were together, married. He didn't drink. I always had a beer before we went somewhere. I always made sure where we were going, I could have a drink. I always mm-hmm. made sure if we were having game night, there was alcohol. And all of our friends drank. If we were going to a show or to a basketball game or to a volleyball game or to football, like I always was having a beverage before we went. So to me, my brain was like, you literally can't do anything without alcohol. Like,
yeah,
you can't.
And just thinking the positive reinforcement with that as that fear of like someone's like, I brought a bottle of wine, and the supposed reaction is, ooh, like I'm so excited. And like,
yeah,
that was what we were excited. We're like, ooh, we're so excited to drink.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was like, you know, and a lot of it, right? Most of those things that I just mentioned were social. So for me, I was like, I mean, how can I not have a drink and go be social? I can't. I'm not good at it. Like, even at my dad's Christmas party every year, I'm always the host. He has like a Christmas party with like fucking 50 to 70 people at their farmhouse. And it's so much fun. However, only because I was drinking, I thought, right? So I am the white elephant host. And so I get on a loudspeaker, like a, what are those things, like the horns that you talk into?
Oh, megaphone.
Yeah, I would be the megaphone person. and like call each person up and you could steal once and, you know, whatever. And it's a blast. And then I would always announce the gingerbread house winner. But I was fucking tanked. And my dad, even the next day, would be like, oh my God, everyone loves you, especially after you have a few. You really get to liven up the crowd. Like, you are on it. And he loves it like that about me, and would just like reinforce, like, make sure you drink enough. Like, I'm not kidding. And my dad is an alcoholic. He's sober. He's been sober for over a decade. And a lot of people, right? Like, always reaffirming to me, reinforcing, like, you're so much fun. You're so social. You do such a good job. Like, you know, this, and this. And I'm like, only because I'm wasted. Like, I don't actually feel comfortable in front of this crowd of people. So with all that being said, I was not only drinking in those situations, but when I was hungover, so I would go out and with my girlfriends on a Friday night, I would wake up the next morning and I would wake up Steve at like 7 o'clock in the morning. Cause I like immediately woke up with anxiety and guilt, and I would be like, let's go hike. And he's like, fuck. Okay. So we stop at Burrito Boy. I throw up in the, you know, the line to get our burritos.
I cannot believe that you would fucking go hiking. I would sleep in bed all day, like polar opposite.
Not me. I had to tell myself that I didn't have a problem and that what I was doing was totally normal and I could function.
Ooh.
And so I would, puke in the line for Burrito Boy out in the car. Like, literally one time my friend Amy and Steve and I went to hike Proxy Falls. And when we get out there, I'm like dying. But movement and the fresh air made me feel better.
Yeah.
And probably not my hangover. They didn't make my hangover feel better, but it made my anxiety feel better, I think. And so it really did help a little bit. And then also, like, helps the Instagram, right? Like, I wasn't posting the night before where I was drinking and puking. Like, I was posting pictures of my hike the next day, like, you know? So the illusion that is Instagram.
The illusion.
Yeah, still an illusion. Trust me, my life isn't as perfect as it seems on Instagram, but it's pretty damn close. And also, we're just showing up more authentically there now. So
Right.
But then I would crack open a beer at the summit or at the fall and be like, Pacific Northwest, like, it's me, like, out, you know, PN Wonderland.
Dude, I would definitely be like I looked through my Facebook and I was being authentically myself, but like, this me wishes I wouldn't have.
Like, it'd be like, oh my God, right?
Yeah, like, I'd be like, it's stuffed hash brown time, fools.
I was there with you. We would love Todd's Place. Love that place.
Oh, I fucking love that place. Did it burn down?
I don't know. Or is something, isn't that where the Whole Foods is now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked up. Gentrification.
That place was awesome. You got so many stuffed hash browns. But I would say stuff like, thanks, Boone's Farm, for the hangover. And like, just the stupidest fucking one sentence lines of like, I'm going to get fucked up now. Like,
wait, I have an idea. We should only put out reels on our page that are videos of us reading our old Facebook posts.
Oh, that would be so good.
Like a series. Oh, okay. So,
and explaining photos of like when I had drinks in my hand to be like, okay, so this night I fucked a stranger.
And then cried. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's fine. Okay. So anyways, I was busy living a double life, basically, is what the moral of that story is. So yeah, that was complicated for me. And then number two, and this one's kind of deep. I had a fear of being labeled an alcoholic.
Well, and your dad's an alcoholic, and you've talked a little bit about that on the pod.
Yeah, like, as a child of an alcoholic, there was like, it was a huge reason for me to continue to chalk up my drinking problem to like, I just know how to have a good time, right? Because like, the truth is, I was afraid that if I was an alcoholic, my relationship with alcohol was doing the same amount of damage that my dad's did to the people that he loved and cared about, like that I was doing that same thing to the people in my life. And while I will say that is not the case, right? Like, my relationship with alcohol is not my dad's. And I think it's really important for everyone to separate the narrative that they are like or they are their parents, because it's not true. And mm-hmm. it's damaging to your own story and to your own experience and to theirs. But yeah, it was just like too hard to come to terms with that, like, you know, that existed in him that made me so sad growing up without a dad existed in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, woof, that just got a little bit, that's kind of sad. And, you know, he even says, like, oh, you're like an alcoholic junior. Like, you caught it before it got so bad that you lost multiple families and spent years in prison and, you know, lost your driver's license and things like that. And
right.
while we're here to not out trauma each other, not out rock bottom each other, was a big fear of mine that, like, if I was, like, you know, committed to quitting drinking, I was going to be labeled an alcoholic. I would be a fucking weirdo that was sober, which is, like, so funny because I'm like, now I wear that hat, like, proudly. I'm like, look at me. I'm sober. Like, my yeah. stuff. I'm sober. Like,
yeah.
you know, tell me I'm doing a good job. And, like, this lifestyle is normal. Like, drinking every day is not, you know? So, like, flipping that script. Anyways, that fear was huge for me. And it's like part of the reason that we're here podcasting is like to break that stigma. I feel like stigma in the recovery space is huge and it keeps people ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the big one for me, and probably not just for me, the fear that I wouldn't be able to quit. That's my third one. Like that's why I didn't quit. I was afraid that I would fail. I wouldn't be good at it. And so I didn't want to try it. Just like with so many other things in our yeah. lives, you know, mm-hmm. like that's ultimately how it keeps you sick, how it keeps you small, and how it keeps you continuing to drink.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
it's just crazy because it's ourselves. If we could talk to like the 23-year-old version of ourselves and be like, okay, so then you're just like doing the same thing, which is what you're doing right now. So, like, if you try it, but it's just, it's really hard to, like, peel the curtain of that illusion back,
oh, and know.
You know what I mean?
And alcohol, and big alcohol, and society does a damn good job of making sure that curtain doesn't get peeled mm-hmm. back, because if yeah. it does, then you have all these people living free,
mm-hmm.
and then what the fuck are you
and
gonna
not
do?
Sick.
Yeah. I think that's a really good spot. We should take a break for our sponsors, and we will be back with some more goodies in just a little bit.
If you know me, you know I'm always drinking 5 NA beverages at one freaking time. So I love having different concoctions to switch things up. That's why Dry Hard Pod partnered with High Street Tonics, a woman-owned, locally crafted range of organic herbal bitters and honey cider vinegar tonics. The restorative tonics support digestion and well-being through their herbal properties, and they make the most amazing mocktails. Use the link in our bio to shop their website and use code DRYHARDPOD for 10% off when you purchase.
As you all know, I'm obsessed with Reframe app. It's the number one alcohol reduction app. It's built to help you drink less. Whether your goal is to cut back or quit entirely, Reframe is life-changing. Daily Zoom support groups, a community forum, and challenges, podcasts, TED Talks, you name it, over 100 resources are accessible in this app at any given time. You can download Reframe app on iOS, use the 7-day free trial, and use code KATY, Katie, for 10% off your subscription.
So how did you do that, Katie? All those three things being said are like valid and terrifying. And I'm sure at least I think both of us felt that way for a pretty long time. I know I wished that I wasn't someone who drank all the time when I was like 23
right.
and then ended up quitting at like 30. Mm-hmm. So what was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, or the situation that allowed you to like look past the curtain, past the illusion, and be like, I'm going to do this anyway?
Yeah. There's so much there, and I feel like I still really need to gather my thoughts for that part. So I want to hear from you first.
Okay.
My mouth needs a break. I talk a lot.
Fair. Cool.
So, like, your first one was, like, you had this fear of having nothing to do. So, like, what the fuck? Now you're like, I don't have enough time for anything. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I think I asked the question a little wrong in that, like, I do still have a hard time pinpointing, like, why I decided to wake up one day and be like, fuck this.
Yeah, same.
And I think it is just a culmination of, like, not wanting to feel like shit anymore. And that point is going to be different for everyone. And hopefully the more people that talk about and share their experience, the more you realize that, like, this is a thing and I can do it and other people are doing it too. So, yeah, I think, like, representation is huge, which is definitely why we wanted to create the podcast, because like, there was an alcohol use disorder, like, when we were 23, and
at least not a platform where people were talking about it on like they are now.
Right. Exactly. So, but then once that happened, I literally have so many plans. I have so many hobbies. I used to literally only watch TV, like watch reality TV and get drunk and go to the bars. And now I have been going roller skating. I've been bouldering. I've been taking classes. I took a stand-up comedy class. I took intro to bouldering class. I've like been signing up for webinars that I've been watching online. I've been watching my makeup tutorials. And
I love your makeup. I love
Thank
your makeup.
You. Always,
I love it when you send me like, look, this is what I'm using right now. And it's like my favorite. And then I go buy it. So you're an influencer.
And it is a hobby for me. That one is one that I've felt some weird shame around, but
no, fuck
we
that.
Can do it. Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm super into it. So I've been just doing a lot of shit, and I feel like I work from home. Like, I don't even leave the house, but I still feel like I need a staycation because I've been connecting with my friends way more. I've been talking on the phone for like 2 hours a day, which I love. It is so important to me. It's really a core value of mine to honor and nurture my friendships. But I'm tired. Like, I do a lot of cool shit all the time. You know, I work out, I walk my dog, I have movie dinner nights with my partner. And so it's just so funny to think like, oh, I'm just going to suffer here in like this white cell of a room and just have to like go to sleep every night and force myself to sleep because I'm going to be so bored. And that is not fucking true at all. I'm doing way more stuff that I actually like, things that are more authentic to me, and I'm doing them whenever the fuck I want. So, you know
Love
what I mean?
It.
Like,
yep.
So not bored, a little tired, a little manic sometimes, but not bored. and it's great. So yeah, that's kind of how I got to be on the other side, and then what that's looked like for my first one. Katie, are you ready? Do you want to do your first one, and we'll
sure.
go back and forth,
oh,
or what
yes,
do you think?
I love
yeah?
that.
Okay, cool.
Also, I want to apologize to everyone watching or listening. My cats are fucking shit up right now. Like, they are fighting back here. They're eating their food. Like, movie, you can see him. You might not be able to see him in like the dark room, but.
No, it just looks like a haunted hallway.
Behind me. It's so good.
Yeah, it looks like someone's going to come behind Katie and like stab her with a large knife.
Don't speak that shit.
You're fine. Anyway.
Okay. Well, I agree with you. Like, having nothing to do is not fucking real, right? There are so many things that we do. However, it is hard at first to retrain your brain. My first fear actually kind of came about to be, now that I talked about it, a fear of not being able to be social.
Mm-hmm.
So I just slowly but surely introduced social settings in like a container, in a controlled, safe container back into my life when I was sober. Yeah, it meant like, you know, dabbling, like taking my mm-hmm. own car to mm-hmm. an event. Or making sure it was with a small group of people or with a trusted friend or maybe not in an environment yet that I had memories of drinking in.
Mm-hmm.
And then slowly over time, adding those things back in and then being like, this doesn't work for me and this does work for me. I feel safe around this person and show up authentically and this feels aligned, but this does not. And so kind of just experimenting over the last year and almost a half for me, kind of experimenting with that has been good. I think that it's so important to create pleasurable moments in your body once you're sober while doing the things that you love and not having to rely on the drunken memories. So recreating those memories now that you're sober is really important, and just stockpiling those so that you, you know, like, let's say I do decide to go to Starlight. God forbid, like, fucking hope that never happens. Like, please, no one that I know have a party there or a birthday party. But if I do, like, I can show up in this space as myself. I don't need alcohol here because I have tried and taken all of these baby steps to get to this place of safety. And, you know, if it's someone who invites me that I love and I trust and I have built my relationship in sobriety with them and they invite me, I will go. But if it's someone that I haven't spent time with since my drinking days, like, that's a hell no for me. So I also think getting being sober has really helped me get really clear on the things that are a hell yes or a hell no. And so that's been really helpful too.
Yeah. I feel like for me, the Barmuda, the downtown bar area in Eugene is a no-go. I think it's funny because the fear of losing friends, the fear of like no one inviting you to hang out, but I'm actually totally, one, it hasn't happened, and two, yeah. It's been people that have just invited me to stuff I've wanted to do. Like, I'm so much more in alignment with my friends and with that core group of people that I don't think that I, if someone asked me to go there, I would say no. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this, but
I hear you. I just want to add, when I first quit drinking, I did feel really isolated. I didn't have any friends down here. Cause like for everyone listening, like my core group of friends lived up in Portland or had moved to, you know, another place. And I'm married, but my husband and I spend a lot of time doing our own thing, right? Like separate from each other. We're both really independent in our relationship, which I value. So there was a lot of time where I just spent by myself, and that did feel good until I was ready. You know, I mean, it was scary, but it felt good. And eventually, until I got to a point where I was like, okay, I can totally reach out to this person or say hi to this person at my workout class, or, you know, like start to mingle in different environments. And that felt really good, especially when this, like the sun was shining. Like I wasn't just like a creature of the night anymore, making friendships with people after six fucking shots, you know?
Yeah.
So like daytime friendships are my jam. Like I don't want to go somewhere with you after dark. Yeah. Most of the time, unless it's like Chelsea Handler or like, you know, a fun thing with a friend that also doesn't like imbibe or like go overboard with alcohol, that also prioritizes that care in that relationship. That's really important to me too. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, your schedule flips. I feel like I want to just like be, and it just makes sense, right? Like be active during the day and then be cozy and relax and go to sleep at night. Like, it feels good. Yeah. So
yeah, I know it's like 9:09 and I'm like trying to go to bed in like 20, so like let's wrap this shit up. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I want to lay in bed and read my book by myself.
I know, you know, when people say things that they're like just kidding, but like, you know, it's true. That was one of them.
Okay. Well, is it my turn? Do I go to my second one?
Yes,
okay,
it's your turn.
Disappointing people. Yeah, I cover this a little bit, but I feel like I was so afraid of people not wanting to hang out with me. And I do still, depending on the person, I caught myself doing this where they'll be like, oh, you have a podcast, or like, oh, what is this? And I thought it was like really sweet and supportive, but I was also like, yeah, it's not going to be everyone's thing, so it's okay. Like, you don't really need, you know, like I was just putting it down, or like, I know everyone and their mom has a podcast, but you know, and
we're just two dumb girls. Like I do that too.
Like, I don't know. I just do it because it's fun. And it's like, yeah, I mean, obviously I do it because it's fun, but I also do it because I really love it. And I would love to make something out of it. And like, that's okay. Like, I don't know why I have this like weird
fear of being seen.
Yeah, fear of being seen as like this, I don't know, wannabe influencer. Another thing that I do is I'll be like, I don't drink, but I do still do drugs, like so that people will still think I'm cool. And I did that with my coworkers when they invited me out. Instead of just like not drinking, I had to be like, oh, don't worry, like I smoke weed, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can't even do that anymore because I'm fucking sober, sober now. And it is wild, let me tell you.
I know.
Well, something else, Kayla Lyons actually just like posted this meme on Instagram. And it was, your fear of looking stupid is holding you back.
Yeah.
And I was like, bitch. Yeah, I know.
Like, I'm like, matter of fact, like, yes. Like, I know that.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, thank you.
What else is an illusion?
Oh my God. Well, let me tell you. The idea that because I quit drinking, like, I have to be an alcoholic. Like, I don't even identify with that word. For me, I love it for anyone else that does. Like, there is nothing fucking wrong with it, A. But B, like, once you quit and once you have exposure, and this is why we're doing this podcast and why so many other people have sober podcasts and why so many people are in the sober space and why so many, you know, like, why all of this exists.
Right.
To break the stigma, to give different language to what we're doing, to support people exploring who they are and what they want in their lives. Like, find what you align with, find what brings you joy. And like, if you're not quitting drinking because you're afraid of what people are going to think, like, people think that anyways about your drinking.
Yeah, if you're worried about what they think of you when you're sober. Oh no.
I just said that accidentally, but like, wow. No.
Think about the shit they talk after you threw up in their fucking car.
Like, no hate to anyone that's still binge drinking and doing that shit, because like, no judgment at all, but like you're being judged one way or another, and so come on.
It just goes back, you can't control it. They could literally, you just can't. You have to let that shit go.
And we say this, I feel like I've said this in like three different episodes now. Malia, I feel like it's Malia Emery, I think that might be her maiden name, but anyways, she's an amazing singer and mother and guitar player and like all these things. But she like posted that like the way people perceive you is none of your business.
Yeah.
And so like trying to control that narrative, like, oh, people might think I'm an alcoholic. That is not your job to be concerned with. Also, find something else to call yourself if you must label, right? Because labels make us feel like we belong. I think that they're also really important to me in my sobriety. Like, I'm sober curious. I'm alcohol free. You know, I'm sober. I would be offended if someone put a label on me as an alcoholic, but that's not up to me. It's just not something that I identify with. So the stigma is there,
mm-hmm.
especially when we reinforce it. So if we're not reinforcing that stigma and we're breaking that cycle of what an alcoholic is or what someone who quits drinking is, we are actually creating permission slips for everyone else that's questioning their relationship with alcohol. And like, I don't know about anyone else. And of course, I didn't realize this when I first quit drinking because, you know, hindsight's 20/20 or whatever the fuck they say.
Yeah. No, I think that one we got that one right.
First try.
We need to have a bell. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, I feel like I'm hanging out with you right now. So I'm like loving this video recording.
I know. We are hanging out.
Yeah. So I feel like hindsight's 20/20, of course, but like, be someone shaking it up, right? Like, be someone that's a part of the new narrative. Like, you know, recreate. Like, I think, and this is a huge shout out, and I've said her name a couple times, and I don't even know if there's any words that I could say to say thank you to Kayla at Reframe App. Not just because she's like a fucking 30-year-old who has like multiple successful businesses and is helping like change people's lives every day, but like, also, just like, she created a space, there are other people as well, but this is one that I'm connected with directly. She's creating a space where people can just cut back on alcohol, right? They can just say, mm-hmm. like, I'm just not drinking tonight. Like, just starting that conversation. And, you know, it leads me into my next one, even this like fear of failure. What mm-hmm. if you weren't being tested? Like, what if we just took that narrative out of alcohol? Like, you don't have to fail or succeed. You can just not drink for now. And maybe you do. Maybe you do drink. Maybe you have, you know, 6 drinks when you go out, which is considered binge drinking, by the way, according to the CDC. But it's a learning experience. You get to take that knowledge that you've earned in that slip up and take it into your next stint of not drinking. And
right.
I just think that like in so many other ways, we see failure as a learning experience. Like, how many failed businesses did Steve Jobs have? I don't actually know the number, but I know that they're there.
This is a question.
Someone Google it and comment it on our episode or whatever. You know what I'm saying, right? Like in every other environment, failing or not doing well or not getting 100% on the first try just allows you room for growth. And I think that when we apply that to alcohol and changing our relationship with it, it's just going to create a much like an environment that's so much less shameful.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, yeah. Great. Now I'm an alcoholic and I fucking failed at quitting drinking. Like, no, you don't have to feel that way, even though my heart goes out to you because I felt like that too. And, you know, so anyways, that's my whole spiel.
I think it brings up another fear, which is that like fear of failure, or for me, fear of never being good enough.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that stuff is deep.
Yeah. And so for me, I think like I am not walking the talk. Like I don't identify with this term sobriety, but yet I'm like reaping all the benefits of it. But I still am California sober, which everyone just thinks I'm from California. I'm sober. Yeah. Like I feel like I'm never, ever going to be good enough. Like I'm never going to be able to eat clean enough. I'm never going to be able to like be, you know, like it goes so far back. And so for me, it's hard because when you feel that way, when you feel like, oh, well, like I'm not going to be able to do this perfect, or like, I'm never going to be like, I'm just always going to be addicted to something. Like if I'm not addicted to alcohol, then I just replace it with weed. And if I'm not, you know.
Yeah. And when we have that narrative on replay in our minds, like our subconscious doesn't know the difference between that and what's like actually possible. And so like removing alcohol for me gave me the confidence to believe in myself. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a chain reaction. I listened to Saturn and Surrender by The Magic is in the Middle. It's an amazing podcast, like just like short episodes about like where being alcohol free meets spirituality. Everyone go listen and review it, and they're the best. But in her last episode, she said the saying is fake it until you make it. Mm-hmm. But what we actually need to do is believe in ourselves so wholeheartedly and 100% in that we are just showing up as that person the next day. And like that really resonated with me because it's like, you know, we're not faking it. We're actually just like, I can do this now, you know, like, I know I can do this. And the more you say you can, the more you will, which is, you know, a whole nother conversation for a different day. But I think that it ties into this shame and this stigma and this fear of failing at everything, right? Like mm-hmm. just thinking that we can't do things in general.
Yeah. And once you realize you can, literally a whole fucking door opens to like a different universe, which sounds like it's coming from someone who does psychedelics, but like
you do, so it's fine.
Like, exactly. So you know, get woke, get it, open yourself up
so
to what's possible when you believe in yourself.
Kaylee, how are you?
Am I done?
Well, I interrupted you like again, which is just forever going to be our dynamic. I love you. But I want to know, how are you combating romanticizing alcohol in that life?
Oh, I tried to skip over my third one.
Don't do that. Don't shortchange yourself.
My life right now is way fucking cooler. Like, and a lot has changed and some hasn't, right? Like, I still watch my makeup tutorials. I am still a juicy couture girl at heart. Yes. You know, there's always going to be part of me that enjoys nice, pretty things and pampering myself. And I want someone to rub my head and slather me with oils. Slather.
I really like slather a lot.
Slather
me with oils.
Yeah, slather me in oils, and like I like being pampered, and I like having a certain level of comfort, and working actively right now to not have shame around that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, freaking representation. Speaking of, there's this whole like bimboization movement mm-hmm. that's happening that makes me feel a lot better about myself. So shout out to Chrissy. I cannot remember her last name. And she, I she's like my, I don't think she would ever listen to this podcast, but you know, I don't know if she would even listen to this podcast. She's cool. So yeah, just like accepting the feminine side of myself. But at the same time, I'm also like dressing like a 13-year-old boy and playing video games and like sitting spread eagle on the couch and like eating snacks and chilling. So
yeah, because you can literally be whatever the fuck you want to be.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have a really safe space to do that. And it's just been fun. It's just been fun to do whatever the fuck I want. So yeah. I'm romanticizing this version of my life. And it's more internal than worrying about like if I look cool sipping a cocktail at Starlight, because it was fucking Starlight and I did it. And I definitely didn't look cool fucking puking in the bushes on the way home. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And it's like
illusion.
You know, it's so funny, too, because the commercialization of alcohol. I don't know if that's a, I'm coining that now, but
TM.
You know, it doesn't ever show that. It doesn't ever show the girl in the bushes puking. It always shows the girl like ordering the three olives martini
mm-hmm.
with her perfect lipstick and her dress and her heels.
Mm-hmm.
It never, ever, ever communicates the consequence or the, yeah, the flip side of all of that. Just like with everything, but it's especially problematic when it comes to alcohol.
Well, shit. What do we want to leave people with? Actually, we forgot to take a quick break for our supporters. So I want to make sure that I get that in too.
Yes, do that now.
Yeah. So we have 1,000 followers. We have over 1,000 followers as we're recording this. I think we have 1,014
on our Instagram.
On Instagram right now. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Bryce. You can follow him at Bryce Echete, I believe is his. How you pronounce that, but I'm not sure. He's the owner of Edit Beauty Collective in Portland, but I met him at Mega Burn because we were getting our asses kicked next to each other. And the instructor was like, we're going to do 30 minutes of legs. So it's going to be a lot of lunges and squats. And we looked at each other and we're like, fuck. And I told him I was eyeing our like 999 followers, like a psycho all day. And this is like the first time we've ever talked. And he clicked the button in front of me and let me
I was like, let me be your 1,000th follower.
Yeah, just so fucking cool. So fucking cool. So
cool.
Yeah, just really nice. So definitely wanted to give a shout out because I really appreciated it. Like made my day. I called Katie immediately afterwards and like FaceTimed her like sweating and dry heaving. And she was like, I just was like, yeah,
you're like out of breath. You're like walking Portland. You're like, guess what? And I was like, oh, that was so worth the call. I appreciate the FaceTime so much. Always.
Yeah. Then I was like, I'm going to go because I can't yeah. be witnessed like, right now. But
it's so funny because, you know, there are billions of people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with the way that we see social media, we see like, oh, you know, I do this anyways, especially because I work in like social media management a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, only 1,000 followers, like is kind of how I feel. And I'm like, that's 1,000 people that are like, you two are funny. And I'm glad that you're starting this conversation. How can I support you? Mm-hmm. And then hopefully maybe they feel supported. And if not, like still just wanting to follow along. It's like if we had a storefront called Dry Hard Pod, we would never have exposure to 1,000 people in one day.
Yeah.
It's so amazing that social media can do that. And I think that the Sober Curious space on Instagram, it ties right back into this conversation that we had today in the pod that like, it is changing people's lives. Like it has helped support me through so much of the difficult part of sobriety. And, you know, you were talking about romanticizing alcohol and like your like hot bitch status or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's like this whole world of like super hot babes on Instagram that are sober and I'm here for it. It's there's a lot, but Tori Felder is one specifically, and she is, what is her page? It's actually embarrassing that I can't remember the name of her page. She's the founder of the Retired Party Girl. If anyone doesn't already follow that.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And they're all hot. And she's like posting pictures of herself in lingerie and like taking back this, you know, like the unsexiness of quitting alcohol and turning into her own narrative. And I think that that's really cool too.
Yeah. Also, if you think about how many fears we just listed off for getting sober, I have so many other fears. I have so many. I have so many. And quitting alcohol has also like really helped me go through those. Like, I think Katie and I have both been tested a lot and have done hard things and have come out the other side even better for it. So if we want to leave you with something, it's definitely not that fear, but the reminder that if we could do it, you can definitely do it. And B, and you know, your what you need for support might be different, but that's fucking great and fine. Mm-hmm. And B, that it's an illusion and it's not scary. And it's also like it lets you face like so many other fears and just like really, really opens up. Like, I feel like this is an entirely different chapter of my life and it's the most exciting, coolest one. And I'm like really stoked to go through it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I can't wait to do an episode just like this a year from now.
Yeah. You know, that'll be really cool. We're kind of we're like documenting
our experience.
Our experience, our time. Yeah, we recently listened to some of the first episodes and it's crazy what we were feeling. So it gets better and it gets better and it keeps getting better. So
yes,
that's what we want to leave you with.
And I think with that being said, we have some homework.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So we have an assignment for each of you. It's something we've talked about over on 1000 Hours Dry, and Reframe App actually uses this as a practice. Not this specifically, but this premise. So for everyone listening, like in your notes on your phone or pen and paper, if you're taking notes of our episode, you get extra points. Let us know in a review, a 5-star review. Thank you. Anyways, so write down 3 things preventing you from cutting back or quitting alcohol. 3 fears. If you're already sober, recall 3 fears that you had when you first quit or were wanting to quit. After you've done your list, it can be short, it can be long. Like if this becomes a journal practice, that's great too. Take your list and next to each of the fears, label them as something you know as fact or fiction or like a narrative that you're making up in your head to keep yourself safe. Because we do that. That is a trauma response. And I think that just starting a practice like that, whether it's be about alcohol or not, right? Like, why aren't you starting the podcast? No one's going to listen to it. That's not true.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Why aren't you, you know, going for a walk every day? Oh, I don't have time. You know, like we can love ourselves, reflect, and make the changes necessary to live more aligned and more fulfilled lives. And I think that that's really the end goal. And that's why we're making this podcast, is to do it for ourselves and to help other people if it helps them.
I hope it helped.
Aw. Okay. Well, happy Wednesday. Happy Sunday when you're listening to this.
Yeah. Time travel. Fuck.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay. Goodbye.
Fucking bye.